If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter 24. I'm going to be somewhat brief this morning because, as was already said, I do have to be back up in Alexandria for the 11 o'clock service to preach up there. But I'd like to go through this. This chapter quickly, and have a few points to go over. In the last few weeks, few months, when I've been here, I've talked about a few different things. I've talked about the need for revival. I've talked about what it truly means to have repentance and how we can have repentance and the need for repentance. Talked about a few different things. Talked last week simply about salvation. This week, we're going to look at this verse, and as is typical of most of the sermons I preach, it's about familiar scripture. Most people could quote parts of this chapter, especially as we get down into it. But I want you to truly open up your hearts this morning to what the Lord would have for this time. Like I said, I'll be brief, but I'd like to take a few minutes to look at this. Joshua chapter 24. I'll quickly read verses 1 through 28 just for context, and we'll go over those quickly. Starting verse 1 of chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for the heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when I cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in which land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sights, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people throughout or through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and sent them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it upon thereunder an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Let's quickly go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us, and for this opportunity and this freedom that you've given us to come out and worship you together. I pray that you be with us in the next few minutes as we look at your word and look at the message that you would have for us for this time. I pray that your hand would be upon us, that whatever is said and done will bring honor and glory to you. We thank you for your blessings, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, it's a familiar scripture. To give a little bit of background on what's happened, of course, you can read in previous chapters and books all the things that the children of Israel have gone through. We see that they were in captivity in the land of Egypt, and God called Moses forth to lead them out. And of course, you know that story with all the plagues. And then finally, the Pharaoh decided that he would let them go. And of course, we know that as it came upon the banks of the Red Sea, we see that Pharaoh had changed his mind and had pursued them. And of course, we see that God parted the waters there, and the children of Israel passed over. And then when the Egyptians thought that they could come over too, the waters fell upon them. We see all these things that have happened, these battles, these cities that have fallen. Many of them, these great walled cities like Jericho, that have been conquered by these people. And if you read this chapter, you can see that they truly were exciting times for the people of Israel. They defeated their enemies. They claimed their promised land. And each tribe of the children of Israel had received their inheritance that they'd been promised. So it seems now that things could settle down, that they could kind of sit back and enjoy everything that they had received, everything that they'd been given. It truly was a time of hope. It was a time of prosperity. It was even a time of blessing. But we also see as we go down through here, through this chapter, that it was a very dangerous time as well. If you look at the history of the nation of Israel, you'll see that there have been times of blessing and there's been times of curse. There have been times of blessing when the people of the nation were serving the Lord, but then there's also times of cursing and times of God's curse upon them when they turn their back. We see times of captivity when they decided that the way that they wanted to go was not the way of the Lord, but the way of perhaps the people around them, these other gods. It was dangerous because the people could forget where they'd come from, how they'd gotten to where they were. We know that because there was division among them when they actually reached the promised land, of course we know that the story that God caused them to wander in the wilderness. So all those that had come down out of the land of Egypt were already gone and passed away. And so this is a new generation. So this new generation hadn't had to experience that captivity of the nation of Egypt like their fathers and their grandfathers had. And so it would have been easy for them to forget where they'd come from and how they'd gotten there. But in the midst of all this, Joshua stands up in the middle of them, of the people, and simply tells them that God wants them to dedicate themselves to him. If I were to give this message this morning a title, it would simply be, "It's time to make up your mind." Because that's exactly what Joshua tells the people. He gives them a choice. He tells them what they need to do, and then he gives them a choice. Just as these were dangerous times for the nation of Israel, these are also dangerous times for we who are God's people today, the church. We live in a world that if Satan could get his way, he would just simply do away with the church altogether. It's been tried before, but of course we see that the church has always prevailed and God's people have always prevailed. We live in dangerous times because it's very easy for us to fall into the ways of the world. It's very easy to see the things around us, to see perhaps things that people have around us and say, well, I want that too, so I'm going to go live the way that those people are living. Just as the people of the nation of Israel had a choice here given to them by Joshua, we also have a choice. We have a choice of which path we're going to take and what we're going to do with the time that God has given us. First point I'd like to look at this morning is the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 13, and that simply says that this was not only a time to make up your mind, but this was a time of contemplation. To contemplate something means to look back on it, to think about it. This is what is happening in this first part of this chapter. We see that they're looking back on the things that God has done for them. I've already mentioned how God brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them through the wilderness, brought them through all these battles and these times of despair. He fed them when they were hungry. We can see in the first part that it was a time to contemplate God's power in their lives. As I said, God had done a lot of things for them. It was also a time to contemplate God's presence in their lives. So it's God's power and God's presence in their lives. Truly, God had never left them alone when they were wandering in the wilderness, when they were leaving the land of Egypt. We see, if you read back into the stories of that time, we see that during the days, God would lead them by a cloud, and at night he'd lead them by a pillar of fire. So he was there with them all the time, showing them exactly where to go. He was right there in their presence, and in their presence, just as he is with us today. Verse 13 talks about God's provision in their lives. I've already talked about how when they were hungry, he fed them. When they were thirsty, he gave them water to drink. They never went without anything that they needed. He was always there to provide for them. So like I said, it's a time of contemplation. They're looking back on what they've been through, what their forefathers, if you want to call it that, have been through. We see God's power, his presence, his provision. Just as he was there with the children of Israel, he's been with us today. He's just as powerful today as he was back then. He hasn't lost any of that power. Just as he was present with the children of Israel back then, he's present with us today. The Bible says that, "Lo, I am with you always." We also see that just as he provided for the children of Israel, he'll provide for us today. It may not be, you know, you hear people pray, well, you know, I want this, I want that. He may not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. He'll get you through. So we see in this chapter, the children of Israel had a time of contemplation. We also see that they had a time of confrontation. So we have contemplation and confrontation. They were confronted by Joshua, who was their leader at this time. Joshua gave them a command, and it was a threefold command. We see in verse 14, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord." First of all, they were to fear God, to fear the Lord. Second, we see that they were to serve the Lord. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." And thirdly, we see it says that Joshua commanded them to put away the gods which your fathers served. So we see that Joshua gives them a command. So he confronts them with a command. Like I said, it says to fear God, to serve him, and to put away the other gods that perhaps they picked up along the way from the people that they had conquered. Verse 15a says that not only were they confronted with a command, but they were confronted with a choice. As I said, the whole title of this message and whole point of this message is the fact that we are also given a choice, and it's time that we make up our mind. Verse 15 starts out and it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites." So we see that Joshua reminds them of where they've come from, and then he gives them a command to serve the Lord. And then he gives them a choice. He doesn't just simply leave it at the command and tell them what to do, but he tells them that they need to choose. So we see he's given a choice that they can either serve God or they can serve the gods of those around them. Verse 15 ends with Joshua confronting them with a challenge. Not only does he give them a command and give them a choice, but he challenges them as well because he tells them, it doesn't matter what you're going to do. He said, what you do is up to you. He said, only you can make up your own mind. But he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So he's leading by example because he's not just throwing it out there for them, saying, this is what you need to do. But he's actually telling them, this is what I'm going to do as well. So he's leading by example. So we see that it was a time of contemplation, a time of confrontation. Lastly, we see that it was a time of consecration. We see in verses 16 through 18, I won't take time to read those again, but we see that after Joshua gives this command and gives this choice to the people, we see that the people make up their mind, and we see the resolve of the people, if you want to call it that. And they look back and they consider everything that the Lord has done for them. And then they say, yes, we're going to serve God. We're going to put away these gods that the people around us have had, and we're going to serve the one true God. They declare their allegiance unto him. And then we see that Joshua takes this opportunity to set up a reminder to the people. Many times, if you look back on the different stories of the children of Israel, they were a people who needed many reminders, just as we need reminders today. You know, when you're going about your daily tasks, a lot of people today have smartphones and cell phones, and they set little reminders for themselves to remember things like birthdays, anniversaries, because we are people that are easy to forget. It's just human nature to forget things like that. So we set reminders for ourselves. You can look along the sides of the road and see reminders. You see memorials to people. You see cemeteries with reminders of the memory of our loved ones, different things like that. And you can see several times through the history of the children of Israel that they set reminders for themselves. Many times they would take stones or they would take a stone and they would build an altar. And then we would see that the name of the place where the altar was would usually be changed to reflect what had happened there. So we see that Joshua took the opportunity to remind them that God is holy and righteous, and that if they serve him, he will bless them. But he also gave them a reminder that if they decided to turn their back on him, that it would be just the complete opposite, that God's curse would be poured out upon them. So we see that he sets up this memorial at the end of this passage that we've read. Set up a memorial. That way every time the people would look on it, they would be reminded this was the place that we decided to follow God. You see, all of us are presented with choices. We have to make choices every day of our lives. Sometimes they're easy choices like, where are you going to eat lunch? Or what are you going to have for lunch? What are you going to wear today? Many times we're presented with choices that, to use the old phrase, are matters of life and death. First of all, you're presented with a choice, as we talked about last week, of salvation. That choice is given to you to make on your own. God has given us all a free will to choose who we will serve. Just as Joshua said in this passage, it says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." After you've made that choice to follow God, it's daily a choice that has to be made to continue to serve Him. I've said many times before that just because you get saved doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. It doesn't mean that everything's going to flow nice and easy and that it's going to be an easy walk, because the Apostle Paul tells us that we have to be crucified with Christ daily, that we have to take up our cross daily to follow Him. The old man, the old flesh, as the Bible calls it, is wanting to present himself almost on a daily basis. We have that sinful flesh still in these bodies until we receive our heavenly bodies and that righteous body. So we have a choice to make. You have a choice to make of whether you're truly going to serve God, because it's one thing to say, "Yes, I'm saved," but it's another thing altogether to say, "I'm going to serve God with all my heart." Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be called to be a missionary or a pastor or things like that, because not everyone who chooses to follow God is called and led into full-time service, but all of us have a full-time job to do, and that's to witness to those that are around us and to win lost souls to Christ. So the choice is yours. It's a choice that has to be made, because one day all of us will give an account for the time that we've spent on this earth before God. The Bible tells us that we'll stand before Him, and some will be so sorrowful over the things that they've done because they've wasted all the time that God has given them, that they will shed great tears. And then those that choose to serve Him and faithfully serve Him will be presented with crowns and rewards in heaven. So the choice is yours. Which choice are you going to make? Are you going to serve Him, or are you going to serve those that are around you?